Let me tell you something about that, not just because the offering was for us, but I just want to share how it really works. I was in some meetings in Charleston, South Carolina not too long ago, and I always take at least one team member, and here I've got two. I've got Doug Crew, my son-in-law, who spoke earlier, and my good friend, Phyllis Primrose, and Phyllis does a lot with PTSD, and her husband's been healed of PTSD. But one of the team members that went with me decided, you know what, I'm not really sure that I want to go. And they were battling back and forth if they should go or not. And at the last minute, they decided to go and, you know, just travel down with me. Only spoke in a school for one night. And at the end of the night, this gentleman walked up to me and he said, I feel like I'm supposed to sow a little bit of offering into your team member. Can you tell me what they have need of? Because I feel like I'm supposed to sow into them getting out of debt. And I thought to myself, well, I kind of know, but I didn't want to act like God. You know how you don't want to, you know, put something on somebody. And so I told him, I said, well, why don't you go ask that team member, because they'll probably tell you. And I thought to myself, because the guy was telling me a little bit about himself, he didn't have a job. You know, so I'm thinking, well, he's going to sow $20, $30, something like that. How sweet. And I started praying, God, just bless him. Bless him to find a job and da-da-da-da. And so we left, and he did contact the team member. The team member told him a couple of needs he had. And he goes, no, it needs to be more. Something about getting out of debt. I'm supposed to sow more. And so the team member told him, and we went on about our merry way. About a week later, this team member gets a check in the mail for double. He had asked for $5,000 to get out of debt. He got 10 from a guy that didn't have a job. See how that works? You know, and not just thank you for sowing into us, but really and truly, you know, sowing into your church, sowing into your community. You cannot outgive God. So anyway, when you said that, I thought, wow, the worship today. You know, Doug is awesome. His team is awesome. But every one of them, oh, my gosh. I don't know that I've ever seen a worship team. And I've seen some pretty great worship teams. But thank you, guys. That was awesome. But that one song that we sang is probably one of my favorite songs, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear. Because I get to travel all over the place, you know. I've been all over the world, and right now I'm pretty close in North America, and I just travel, and that is the number one thing that I see, the number one pain that I see is this fear of fathers mainly. And when we fear our fathers, we live in this orphan mindset, and we become slaves. We become a slave to the what if, you know, instead of the, you know, what if I fail instead of what if I succeed or whatever. So anyway, this weekend we had a marvelous time and we spoke on and about that fear. You know, how do we stay in as a slave to a mindset that's totally opposite of what the Father has for you? And so who in here wasn't here this weekend? Okay, I'm going to give it to you. Okay, I love to give books away. So I always go by the first hand I see it. I love to give things away. Okay, so here's what I want to talk to you about today, because Scott told me how he's been talking about the blessing and the Father's blessing and increase and stuff. I know this man. This is not something, he's not a manipulator. He's not somebody that demands whatever. He trusts the Lord. And so I would love to be here in this series about increase. Because here's the deal. Father's going to take care of him and this church no matter what. But I want to learn the principles of increase. Not just financial increase. So today I'm going to talk to you about a principle of increase. And it's not just about finances. It encompasses just about every area of our life. Why? Do you know why I want increase? I want increase because I want to be the influencer to the world. You know, I'm tired of the world influencing me. I want to influence the world. And that song that we sang, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear, some of you may not know this or you may not even care, but Justin Bieber, you guys like Justin? Some of you, you know, you even know who he is? You know, a little pop singer that's just, you know, he's amazing. and his music, the younger kids know him, and whether you like him or not, that's up to you. But anyway, he uses that song as his anthem in his concerts now. And he plays in front of packed out crowds everywhere. He's just the new thing or whatever. If you look him up, the young kids back there can tell you who he is with a drop of a hat. And what I get out of that is this. Christendom influenced him. And you see, that's what we should be doing. As God's kids, we should be influencing the world, not the world influencing us. And when we operate in fear, and when we live in fear, and when we live below what God's promised us, we're slaves. And we're living in an orphan mindset. I'm not going to serve that God anymore. I'm not going to serve the God of fear. And people can get mad at me all they want, but I want this God. I want the Father that provides. I want the Father that enlarges everything. And, not just our team, but we get to, touch and influence a lot of people. And since we have been traveling and doing this, I am amazed at how one person from Red Bank, South Carolina, gets to travel and meet so many amazing, wonderful people and be a part of their lives. See, that's what God has for you. He didn't just pick me for that role. He picked you in your community, right here, right where you are. You may not have to travel the world or whatever. I don't know why I do it, why he has me doing it. But what is the difference? What is the influence that you guys have right here in your community? Your community, your responsibility. But see, I love that fact. I love the fact that I can influence people and make forever friends. Now, I'm going to say a couple things. I don't mean this in any way conceited or prideful, but I'm amazed. Keith leaned over to me and y'all, you sung the song, The God of Miracles. And my friend wrote that song. And his name is Chris Kilala. And Chris Kilala wrote that song. He has three little girls, and his wife got pregnant, and it was a boy. Got his boy. He was so happy. And then the baby was born dead. His son, Jethro. His dream was born dead. And out of that, now Chris had a choice to make. He could choose to change his image of God, a loving, caring father. He could have chosen in crises to change his whole image of who God is. But instead, he wrote that song, God of Miracles. Isn't that amazing? I love stuff like that. And I don't know him super duper well, but Keith leaned over and he goes, do you know that guy? And I said, well, yeah. His mother worked for my son and his sister's my daughter-in-law's best friend since kindergarten. So, we know of each other. But it's amazing that we get to travel and we get to meet these people. We get to meet you. I've met people this weekend that you're going to be my forever friend. Chris and April, they come into our life and that's another story, but they get to be my forever friend. I get to be their forever friend. Didn't I say Keith and April? Yeah. Oh, did I? I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry, Chris. I got Chris Kilala on my brain or whatever. Keith and April. And I'm telling you all that because some of you, I feel like there's somebody and there's people in this room that you've lost a dream. You know that you're not living the potential that God created for you, no matter how old you are. And that can change. It's a matter of choice. It's not a matter of circumstance. If it's a matter of circumstance, then the world dictates to me. But if it's a matter of truth, then my reality should be dictating to the world. I should be influencing people like Justin Bieber. I should be the one changing their mindset. And just a little tidbit, I got told about a year ago, I got a phone call from Justin Bieber's mother's best friend. And she told me, she goes, you don't know this, but Justin was in one of your meetings. Hot dog, wish he'd have come up. But he was only 12 years old at the time. So you never know what little Billy Graham is sitting in your audience. You never know what person you're talking to is going to go out and either change the world for good or bad. That's why I want my influence to be forever increased. I don't want to live. I can't live anymore just getting up in the morning and loving my grandkids, as great as that is, and playing shuffleboard and bingo. I can't do that. Pushing a stick. What fun is that? Putting little things on a card. No, but really and truly, I like bingo because you get a prize. You win something in bingo. I want to live an extraordinary life. And when Jack died, I got stuck. What is your situational circumstance? What is the crises that may have caused you to either get stuck in life or back up a little bit? Because we all take two steps forward and one step back. What am I doing? I'm still going forward. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of choice to pray one simple prayer, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. Anybody in here ever heard of Jabez? Yeah, some of you have studied him, but most people have not, because Jabez is tucked away in one of those books that I don't like to read much, Chronicles. You know, it's all about he begot whom. I don't care anything about 500 million generations ago. You know, I hate to read that. But Jabez is tucked away in 1 Chronicles 4:10. And it's just this little tiny prayer from an average person that Father God took note of his prayer and changed his whole circumstance and situation. I'm average. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 61, what is it God's looking for? You know, because people say all the time, well, Trisha, I can never be you. I can never be Jack. I can never be da-da-da-da-da. But the Bible says you already are, because it says he's looking for an ordinary person, a person simple and plain, but reverently responsive to what he says. See, that's the deal. I'm a simple person. I'm a plain person. But I get to travel the world. In the last 10 years, I've traveled over 500,000 road miles. That's a lot of miles in 10 years. And I get to meet wonderful people like Fifi. That's what I call her. Fifi. You. And I get to be a part of your life. I get to be a part of coming up underneath you and pushing you up into your destiny. So real quickly this morning, we want to cover this prayer of Jabez. There's four basic principles to the prayer of Jabez. It's a kingdom principle, by the way. How many of you know kingdom principles work? Well, they don't work for me. Well, have you applied them to your life? I'm just going to be mama today. You know, I'm a spiritual mom to many people in the kingdom of God. So Scott's given me permission just to be mama. And so I'm going to do that. There are principles that work. And this is one of them, the principle of tithing, sowing and reaping. All of those principles work when, you know what? They work even if you don't apply them to your life, because it's a principle. So, how many people in here today would love to see increase from where you are right now? And I'm not just talking financial. Just about every hand in here is raised up. There's a story in the Bible about the five talents. I think most of us learned this story in Sunday school. Remember the guy that was given five talents? And what did he do? He doubled them. He was faithful with what God put in his hand. This is the simple principle. If we want increase, we have to be faithful with what we have. And then the next guy was given three talents. And what happened to him? He doubled them. He was faithful with the three. But how about the one little guy that had the one talent? He stuck it in the ground and buried that talent. And what did the master say when the master came back for collection? Because, yeah, that's right. The master will require, when history's written about you, it will say something. Now, here's the deal. God's not mad at you. Please, shame off you. If you feel like you haven't lived up to the potential in life, shame off you, but let's change it. But God will require something from you when he goes back, because he invested a lot in you. And so, the one guy didn't want to, he operated in fear, so he buried his talent in the ground. And when the master came back to get his return, the guy said, well, I didn't want to lose what you gave me, so I buried it in the ground. He lived a very fearful, cautious lifestyle. You know what the Bible goes on to say about that in Matthew? The Bible tells us that it's criminal to live cautiously. What? I'm a criminal? But that's what the Word of God says, that it's criminal in Matthew. It's criminal to live a cautious lifestyle. And see, here's Little Miss Much Afraid. When my husband was alive, I loved living in the shadow. I love being the shadow person. And there's nothing wrong with that ministry, by the way. If God's called you to come alongside somebody and you're not the platform person or whatever, there's nothing wrong with that if your motive is right. But see, my motive was caution and fear. I was afraid, what if I fail? That word fail means first attempt in learning. You can't fail. You can't. There is no such word, really. Because if we look at that word, my first attempt in learning, then I get a second try. I get a do-over, as Phyllis says a lot. I get a do-over. Hey, guys, I'm in my do-over. Jack's not here, and I hate that. When we get to heaven, we're going to talk about that. But he's not here right now, and I get a do-over. I get to change my motive of how I live life. And you're never too late. You know, I was in my early 50s when my husband died. It's never too late. And close your ears, Jack. I love my life now more. I love and I miss Jack, but I love my life now more. Why? Because it's exciting. It's adventurous. I'm not living in a shadow. I'm living in my uniqueness. I get to be me. Hot dog. I don't have to be somebody else. I get to be me. That's liberating. And I feel like right now this morning that there's some of us that you've lost a dream or you buried a dream and you don't know where you buried it at, so you don't know how to go and dig it up. And these four principles today are going to help, I hope, to give you the courage and the faith, because I think everybody needs two things if you get that video ready. And some of you have seen this weekend, but I want to show it again. Two things that we need to move forward in enlarging our territory is courage and faith. And so I want to show you this cute little video about what I think faith looks like. Oh, do I need to click it? Oh. Isn't that a good video? What did that crazy grandma do? She got people to believe in something that wasn't there as though it were. What's the definition of faith in Hebrews 11? It's the same thing. It's that hope. It's that hope that we all are looking forward to what's not there as though it were. And that's why I love to show that. It's just a funny little thing. So I got a question for you guys. What causes you not to live in your fullest potential? What's the hindrance? I think I have some answers for that. I think what causes us from living in our fullest potential is that we think too lowly of ourselves. You know, and that's what Jabez did. Jabez thought too lowly of himself because he was an average person that nobody took notice of. But then one day the father began to notice him. You know what the name Jabez means? It means pain. Who on earth, what mother in her right mind would call her kid pain? Well, I'd like to have been there for that labor. I'm telling you, that must have been horrible. Whatever. But anyway, that mother named her son Pain. And can you imagine what Jabez lived through most of his life, wondering, why do I call people pain? I mean, why do I cause pain or whatever? And believe in a lie, because see, so many people believe lies about themselves. And they believe that, or they give in to that, but what if? What if I can't, or what if I don't? I want to ask you a simple question. What if you do? You know, why not focus on what if I do? Because here's the deal. The goal is to increase our personal answers to prayer. Casual prayers, casual results. But when we press in to who the Father is, especially in crises, guess what? It's what Scott said this morning. He's obligated himself to his word. And that's why I love these principles. And so real quickly, I'm going to give you these principles. The whole prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Chronicles 4:10. And it says this. It's a little short thing, and it says, oh, that you would bless me indeed, point one. That you would enlarge my territory, point two. That your hand would be with me, point three. And that you would keep me from evil, point four. A very, very simple prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you want to, if this ministers to you today, I want to encourage you to get two books, The Prayer of Jabez, and to get our sonship book, because they go hand in hand. Because people who feel like they can't accomplish anything for God may be living in an orphan mindset instead of the heart of sonship. Because here's the deal. Father God has called you. He has called you as his child. And if you're his child, you're an heir. See, religion tells us we should just have barely enough to get by. But when Father says you're an heir to the throne, but we overlook that. We just tend to kind of not believe that. Why don't we believe that? Fear. It all goes back to fear. So, part one. Let's look at part one real quick. Oh, Lord, bless me indeed. I love this. I want to tell you a story about Connor O'Reilly. Anybody in here ever heard of Connor O'Reilly? Well, Connor O'Reilly was a penniless Irishman whose wealthy relatives bought him a ticket on a ship to America, hoping he could come and have a better life. But the day before he departed on his trip to America, he began to worry about what he was going to eat on the trip. Because, you see, he was penniless. He had no money. His wealthy relatives bought this for him and paid the price for him. And so anyway, he's worrying about it, so he decides to go to a bakery and get enough stale bread that he can at least have a loaf of stale bread every day in his cabin while they make the 10-day trip across the pond, as Englishmen say. You know. And so he did that, and every day at the same time, he would retreat into his cabin and eat his loaf of stale bread. And he always went back to the cabin because he didn't feel like he would have enough. You know, and some of you guys out here today, you fear that you're not going to have enough. And when the Lord's saying, no, there's abundantly above what we need. And so he goes back to the cabin and he has his bread, because you don't want to share it either. You know, if he shares his bread, there won't be enough for the whole 10-day trip. And so he goes back there, and every day he eats his bread. And on the last day, this passenger walked up to him and said, "How would you like to go have dinner with me tonight, you know, in the ship's dining room?" And Connor had to humble himself, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't. I don't have the money." And the passenger looked at him and goes, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Oh," he goes, "my rich relatives only had enough money to buy me a ticket, so I don't have money to go and eat in the dining room, so I brought my stale bread so I would at least have nourishment to make the trip." And the passenger said something to Connor that devastated him. The price of the ticket paid for 3 meals a day. The price of your ticket paid for 3 meals a day. Here's the deal, guys. Jesus is dying on the cross, paid for us to be joint heirs with him. We have everything in the kingdom right at us because the ticket has already been bought. All we have to do is go to the banquet table. So your choice is this. You can either have stale bread or the banquet table. What do you want? But for so many people, it's an orphan mindset problem. Because somehow along the way, we have believed and we have bought into a lie that Father God will give us just enough to get by, or that we're not worthy. Jesus didn't go around looking at everybody to see what they would do. In fact, he picked the 12 of the worst of the worst of the worst to be his followers. He just said, come to the banquet table. This is for you. Sometimes it's a trust issue and it's a fear issue. So, Conroe O'Reilly's reaction could have been shame. Well, you know what? I messed it up. I'm forever shamed. I can never, ever believe that. So I'll just stay stuck in this orphan mindset. Or he can get up that night and go to the banquet table and have a full meal. Okay? He missed the other meals. And for us, sometimes we may have missed something with God. Maybe we have this terrible thing in our life and we've bought into the lie that we're not good enough or whatever. Or we can make a choice. I'm going to the banquet table. Get the shame off. You know what? Yeah, I did mess it up, but I'm going to the banquet table now because I got a seat. I got a seat at a banquet table with some of the best food. We had dinner with Keith and April last night, probably the best steak I've ever eaten in my life, and I've eaten all over the world. I was at the banquet table, and it was awesome. And you see, that's what Father has for each and every one of us. The second part of the Jabez prayer. I love this. This is good stuff. I'm telling you. It is. All right. Well, you know what? Let me back up for a minute because I want to give you two scriptures to go with the first part. You know, I love to memorize scriptures, but I don't have to memorize scriptures. You know, I memorize scripture now because I need it when I'm in crises. That's my bread. That's my banquet. So write down these two scriptures. Romans, you know, it's just one scripture. Romans 8, 15 through 17. Here's what it says. This resurrection life that you, this is a message, by the way, with a little bit of Trisha translation in there. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. That's why I can't go shuffleboarding every Friday and Saturday. I'm in a conference somewhere teaching. I'd rather do that. This is not a timid, grave-tending life. This life, and everybody put your hands on your chest and go, this life. You only get one go round. This life, it's adventurous. It's expectant. This life greets God with a childlike, "What's next, Daddy God?" I get up every morning now, and I just lay there for a minute. And first, I usually dream about my coffee. And then I realize, wait a minute, I got to wake up. I love coffee, by the way, for some of you who may not. I love coffee. I love frothed cream on top of my coffee with little sugar sprinkles. And today, I didn't have the frother's love. Didn't know coffee. But anyway, it's a what's next, Papa? And that's how I get up now. Or I can fade away into nothing because Jack's dead. I can lay the ministry down and not do anything because my husband died and I'm mad at God. No, no. God feeds me with this kind of stuff. And it goes on to say, we know who God is and we know who we are. We are father and kids. But religion tries to tell us that we're slaves to a holy God. Not anymore. I'm not. Used to be. Been there, done that. Ain't going back. Not serving that God anymore. But I will do anything for my daddy. And guys, I'm not making God too familiar. Some people say, well, you're making him too familiar. No, I understand his sovereignty. I understand his holiness. He is a sovereign, holy God. But he's not so unapproachable that I can't touch him. And that's how religion has made him. And that's why we fear him. I ain't going back there no more. I like this God better. And it goes on to say, and we know who we are. And we are going to get what's coming to us. See, that's what religion tells us. You know what? You didn't do it good today. I got a string. And you're going to get what's coming to you. You know that? And that's what we want to do is when we mess up, we want to point the finger at people and say, you're going to get it. You just wait. My mom used to tell me all the time I was going to hell. Every little thing I did, I was going to hell. I decided to have some fun, go to hell. And she slapped me so hard, I passed out just about because she thought I committed blasphemy. No, I was a hungry little girl that just wanted relationship with love. You know, I didn't want to perform for love. I wanted to just be loved. But that scripture goes on to say, you're going to get what's coming to you. And you know what it is? An unbelievable inheritance. Amen. Scripture says that, guys. An unbelievable inheritance. That's what I want. That's what I live in, too. This is my son-in-law. He can tell you that I live this way most of the time. All right. Number two. Oh, Lord, put your hand upon me. Is that three? Did I go back? Sorry. Oh, oop. All right. Oh, Lord, enlarge my borders. Am I at the right place? I am, right? Okay. Oh, Lord, enlarge my borders. You know what that means, really? It simply means Father God didn't call you to just do this much today. And as you're faithful with what you've got in your hands, like the guy with the five talents, he's going to give you more. It's biblical principle. He's going to give you more. So if you need increase in your business, if you need increase in your influence, if you need increase in favor, be faithful with what's in your hands now and ask him for more. It's a prayer. It's a prayer that we all can pray. Where is Doug, the worship leader? Doug, is he? Oh, there you are. I got a word for you. And sometimes I just have to do this. We may go over 5 minutes, but that's okay. We'll still get lunch. Whenever I get a prophetic word, it reminds me of somebody. Usually the person reminds me of somebody. You remind me of my good friend, Richard Cook. And especially, Richard plays a fiddle. And he used to be on our worship team. But I feel you remind me of Richard Cook because there is such a gentleness about you. There is such a calmness. It's like you're not going to let your boat be rocked and just tilt over. There's a steady keel. And I'm not saying that it's not that you want to be average. You're way above average. You took me to places in worship today that I have not been in a long, long time. And so I want you to know that the Lord is so proud of you, son. He sees what you're doing and how you lead people. You are such an amazing leader, and a leader simply means an influencer of people. Now, you happen to do it with your gift of music, and you said your dad was here. Is he in this meeting, too? I know that your daddy's got to be proud of this kid. You know, this is an amazing, amazing man of God. And you know what? He had to break out of his box. I don't know what your box was, but I feel like you broke that box, and you're going to your next level. It's almost like another act. It's an act of increase. The prayer of Jabez is going to live large in your life, son. And I'm assuming this is your wife. You were on keyboards and singing today. I didn't know. I mean, I saw y'all together, but for whatever reason, I didn't put it together. But you remind me of Katie. How do you say her name? Where did Doug go? Tuvalt. She's the lead singer of Jesus. Huh? Tour walked. She's one of the lead singers for Jesus Culture. And I just happened to be watching that on TV yesterday. And they were playing, it was on God TV, and they were playing in front of a crowd of 14,000 people. And that was just an everyday occurrence to Jesus Culture. Anyway, you remind me so much of her. She was there leading the worship yesterday. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know it's not a man's world. You know, that he's a good worship leader, and that's awesome and stuff like that. But he created you and you. He created us both in his image, the masculine and the feminine. And I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that the power and the strength and the influence that's on his life is just as great on your life, but it's different. It's different. And he wants you to know that there's a uniqueness coming out of you, because he may like to feel more with words or songs or whatever, but I feel like there's going to be a writing that's going to come out of you, and your songs are going to be birthed in dreams that you want to see come true. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know you're going to dream for other people. And because you dream for other people and you're going to be writing about your dreams, that your dreams are going to affect, your dreams are going to affect other people's lives. They're going to affect them to change. So you just keep doing what you're doing, you know, and da-da-da. Actually, I think you sing better than Katie. But that's just my personal opinion. But the influence, the point I'm trying to make is the influence. Father God is enlarging your borders, and especially in this community, and especially with people that are not sure that they can believe, because the songs you chose today are songs of the heart, and they're songs with messages. And a message will turn everything upside down, inside out. It wasn't just great worship. It was a message. So thank you for that, by the way. All right, I gotta get going. But anyway, so the second part is, oh, Lord, enlarge my borders. You know, sometimes we just need to make ridiculous requests of God. George Mueller, I don't know if any of you guys know who he is, but he was an Englishman back, you know, years ago. And he started an orphanage, and he ministered. He personally took in over 10,000 orphans and loved them and provided a home. Can you imagine having 10,000 kids? Oh, Lord Jesus, shoot me. You know, I mean, I love kids. I love what I do. But he took in over 10,000 kids in, you know, in his lifetime. But he had to move from this place to, he had to cross this big lake. And he was from England. And he had to cross this big lake. And he didn't, you know, he couldn't take everything with him, because he had to rent a barge and he had to hire people to help him. But so they packed everything up on the barge, and the barge had to leave because the barge had to be across the waterway at a certain time. But his favorite chair. Now, this is a man that gives out and gives out and gives out and gives out. He needs a place to rest. But his favorite chair didn't make it on the barge. And so George Mueller prayed a ridiculous request, because the captain of the barge said, I won't wait. But George needs his chair. So he prayed, and right before the barge, you know, took off, here come one of the workers with this chair on top of his head, and he ran down and made it to the barge. Now, Trisha, why are you telling that simple story? Because Father God in James 5:11 says, I care right down to the last detail. The last detail. And as you enlarge your influence, as you ask Father God to come and breathe on what you're doing in your life, he's going to answer every one of those minute details that matter to you. Because we need them in order for our borders to be enlarged. I love this stuff. Why do we need to pray enlarge our territory? Because all of us, I feel, are born with a pioneer spirit. You know, I've never met a person that's not born with a heart to do more, to be grandiose, to live life on the edge, even if you're a girl. Most of us girls want to live life on the edge. And don't we want our Prince Charming? We want him to be amazing and in there with us. Because I believe, you know, you guys, please don't get mad at me, but sometimes I think it's the woman that jump starts you guys, you know, and really kicks you guys. Is that not truth? What's your name? Richard. Richard, you remind me of Bob Jones. You ever heard of Bob Jones? He's a big prophet on the earth, and you just look like him to me. I've noticed you, whatever. And I don't know if you have the gift of prophecy or any of that, but I feel like the Lord wants you to know that it doesn't have to be a gift of prophecy. It's words of wisdom. And I feel like, son, that you have such wisdom that's kind of buried down inside of you. And I feel like you're coming into a season that Father God's going to send you sons. He's going to send you sons. He's going to send you sons. Why? Just so you can speak wisdom into them. Because people are at a crossroads. They're at a crossroads making a choice to be an orphan or a son. And you're going to be able to grab them by the hand and say, come on, no. What do you need? I'm in there for you, and I'll be a daddy to you. I'll be a daddy to you. But I want to also say, don't be afraid to speak to them. It's their choice to run away, but you need to speak the truth. Because you won't speak it harshly, and you won't throw them away. We can't throw the orphans away. But God's going to put a new mantle of wisdom on you. Probably it's already there, but it's going to be an increase. And he's done that for me, and he's given me the gift. The prophetic has just so increased in my life. And I feel like the Lord wants you to know that that's for you, that that's for you. So I'm just praying a prayer of impartation that your wisdom would increase and that the prophetic would be more fine-tuned. And I just pray for these orphans that are coming home, and they need a papa and a mama to come to. And I ask Father God right now, I pray the prayer of Jabez over you, that Father God, that you would enlarge their territory and that you would bless them with more in Jesus' name, because you're going to need more. And start claiming, start doing what Scott suggested, start claiming your seed, because you're going to need it for these orphans. Okay, Father, enlarge my borders. You know what borders means there? It means territory, you know, from coast to coast. And it also means your limits, your influence. Anybody in here feel like you influence anybody else? Yeah, good or bad? Good or bad? Because we can influence people for bad also. But as we pray, Father God, enlarge my influence. That's simply just what it means, enlarge my influence. Then I want to tell you to be sensitive to people that are going to come into your path after that. Yesterday, Phyllis had the most amazing opportunity to minister life to a couple here. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do. You know what she told me? She goes, I'm scared to death. First she come in, she goes, I'm going to kill you. She got a little stretched. And she's blaming me for it. It was a great afternoon, right? It was a great afternoon. You're going to be stretched. You are going to be stretched. It's okay to be stretched. We should pray to be stretched. You know why? Because when history's written about you, what's it going to say? Anybody in here know who Agnes Gonxaw Bojaxhiu is? I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right. Anybody? Well, the people that have been in my seminars, they can't say now. Anybody in here know who Agnes Gonxaw Bojaxhiu is? Let me give you a couple things who she is. She had a heart for poor people, a great heart, especially orphans. She opened a ministry to feed families in Calcutta, India. We're getting close. She opened a leprosy clinic that today reaches 90,000 lepers a year. She recently was pronounced Woman of the Year by Time Magazine. She recently, a couple years back, got her saint status. You know who she is? Mother Teresa. Ordinary person. Back in Nowhereville. And she just praying that prayer. Oh, Father, enlarge my territory. Enlarge my territory. And she went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. But she went home not just as Mother Teresa. Now she's Saint Teresa. You know what you have to do to become a saint? You have to at least raise two people from the dead. Now, I've raised one person from the dead. Anybody want to volunteer for my second one? I'm trying to find my sainthood status. I'll get you back. Come on, I'll get you back. Don't you trust me? Okay. All right, the next one. The next thing, part three. Oh, Lord, put your hand upon me. See, here's the deal, guys. So many of us are afraid of the power of God. Religion has told us that we shouldn't seek God's hand. You should seek his face. I seek his face. I need his hand. I can't do what I do today without the hand of God. And so this is a very important part of this prayer. Oh, Lord, put your hand upon me. You know what I'm praying for now? Because, you see, he's given me the gift of prophecy. He's given me the gift of wisdom, discernment. All that stuff has increased in my life. And all that stuff is amazing. But you know what I want now? I want to raise that second person from the dead. I want to be known as Saint Dr. Reverend Trisha Frost. I have my PhD. I have my ordination. Now, some of you don't think that's real funny, but let me tell you, the title that my father has, I don't even have words for. The title that he has for me and the way he sees you, there aren't enough adjectives to describe you. I believe that with all my heart. I'm changing how I think. And see, it's all about a choice. It's all about a choice to live my life as an orphan, believing for less, or to live my life in the prayer of Jabez, asking for more. And so, Father, today I want miracles. I want signs and wonders. Lord, woke me up at 5 o'clock this morning praying for Stephanie. You know, she's on my heart forever. I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see healing. I want to see people walk out of sickness and disease. Well, it's not going to happen if I'm not asking for it. So I'm asking. I'm asking. Oh, Lord, put your hand. You know what his hand represents? Power. Power. You know what else? There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. So what does the blood of Jesus represent? Your ticket. Your ticket across the water, across the pond. So if you keep doing what you've always done, you always get what you've always gotten. John Maxwell said that. If we keep doing, if we keep praying the way we've always prayed, we're going to get the results we've always gotten. And then you're going to go blame God? He's got way more. He wouldn't have given us this outline. You know what? Next to the Lord's Prayer, this is the most important prayer that anybody could pray. Because it encompasses all of this. And the last one, keep us from evil. You know what? Jabez knew he caused people pain. It began with his mother. I'm sure he probably was a 10, 11, 12-pound baby. And they are no fun to deliver. Somehow he caused his mother pain. And I believe he probably knew that he caused other people pain. And you know, the Lord's Prayer hadn't been written then. But somehow he knew to ask God, keep me from evil. Because when we're left to ourselves, we're evil. When I'm left to myself, I'm going to do every crazy thing I shouldn't do. Why? Because it's fun. Because it gives life. So I think. But what I've discovered is I can do every crazy fun thing and not do it with an evil motive. Life is fun. Life is adventurous. Jack's not here. He's dead. How can you say that? Because life is. Again, I miss him. But I don't ever wish him back. I'm having more fun without him. No, don't tell him I said that. No, I would be having more fun with him because he was an awesome, awesome man. So keep us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. If you don't pray that prayer, temptation's going to come your way. Why? Because Satan, Lucifer, lived in heaven. He knows how big heaven is. He's not as concerned about how many people you get saved as you're having something he never had. And that's intimacy with the Father. And see, that's why the church is boring. Not this church, of course. But that's why the church is boring. Because there's no thrill. There's no excitement. I don't want to come to church, get all dressed up, and go to church and have somebody tell me what to do and be bored and go home and I can't do it. But the body, living life together as the body, we celebrate each other. And so I celebrate you. I'm thrilled. That's one thing I love about this pastor and his wife. And again, I meet pastors all over the world. They come to my home and we minister to them and love on them. But you know the one thing I love about this guy and his wife? Every time I have a conversation with him, he's always talking about, like, you know, you guys will walk by and he'll go, Trisha, look over there. You know what they're involved in? And he tells me a story about your life and what God is doing through you and who you were. Now, in my presence, and I would tell you if he did, he doesn't talk evil about any of you. That's a loving father. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, he thinks no evil. Do what? You got to understand something. Father God bound himself to a boundary in 1 Corinthians 13:4. He thinks no evil. You may think you're a failure. You may think all these things. But here's the deal. He can't think that about you. And whenever I got a hold of that revelation, that he had set that boundary around himself, wow, I can't fail anymore. I can't fail. So, this temptation thing, lead us not to temptation. Oh, Lord, keep me from evil. Here's the things that temptation does. You need to look up here because we're fixing to end right now. These are the things temptation does. Temptation pits you against you. That's revelation if I didn't say anything else. Temptation pits you, against your destiny, against your purpose, against your success. Temptation weakens you. Anybody in here fight a battle of temptation besides me? Temptation, here's a biggie. Temptation interrupts the plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says he's got the plan to prosper you and to give you hope for a future. But when we're tempted, that interferes, especially when we give into it. Temptation compromises your ability to believe in God. I love that one. Temptation alienates you from feeling at home and comfortable in his presence. Here's the deal. This is where Jesus is. John tells us that Jesus is in the heart, the bosom of the Father. You know what that word bosom means? Safe place. And he's gone to prepare a place for you because he's going to come and get you one day. He's going to get you. And he's going to take you back where he is. Where is he? He's at the safe place. So why do we fear this place? Why do we fear God when we've embraced lies about our image of who he is? That's the only reason to fear God. Because there's a safe place being prepared for you. And I believe it's on this earth. We're going to rule and reign on this earth. We're going to influence Justin Bieber's. We're going to influence the world. They're going to come into who we are. And I believe that's happening right now. I believe there's a shift going on in the world today. And I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But I believe that our country is turning back to God. And because I believe that, I believe we're going to see amazing miracles happen as we participate with this shift. And I believe with all my heart, this is how we participate. That we believe, 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Do I believe that or don't I? For some, it's all about a trust issue. For some, I'm going to be mama a minute, it's about laziness. You're too comfortable in your lifestyle and you don't want to be challenged. Well, Phyllis got to be challenged yesterday, and because she got to be challenged, hope was given to somebody else. See, you're not your own. You don't belong to you. You were bought with a price. And that price, that blood that you were bought with, is grandiose. It is absolutely grandiose to give you a life better than what you're experiencing right now. Anybody on board for this? What if you only had an hour to live? What would you do? You don't have to really answer that question. Get away. She wants a Whataburger. She only had an hour to live. She'd get a Whataburger. the joy factor. But you know what? Father wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be happy. So she already had one Whataburger. We might have to get her one more before we leave this area. We don't have Whataburgers in South Carolina that I know of. So I want to end today. I'm going to ask, do you mind coming back to the keyboards and to the guitar? And I want us to go back to that song, the Chris Kilala song. If they're here, if they want to, whoever's here and wants to come up and participate with this, because I want to leave you with a blessing. I want to leave you with a blessing. We're going to go back and we're going to sing the miracle song. Yeah, God of miracles. And you know why I want to sing that song? Because some of us here today need a miracle. You know, I put that out there for you, and you honestly need a... You honestly need a miracle in your life, and I can believe God with you for that to happen. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just listen to the song through one time, and then I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to ask Scott and Keith, and I don't know who the other leadership is here. We're going to be up here, and if you need a miracle, I want to pray a prayer of impartation. Scott can pray over you what he's been teaching, because when we teach things, we get revelation. I don't want to teach anything I don't have revelation of anymore. And if you want an impartation of increase, if you want an impartation for your borders to be enlarged, see, the deal is it doesn't happen. If you don't want it, Father God is not upset with you. He's not mad at you, but you're going to be mad at yourself. You're going to be upset with yourself because you're stuck in a situational circumstance when there is a way out. And so we want to pray an impartation prayer. Keith and April have been examples of this. And we want to release this over you. So I want you to get this song in your spirit. And I want you to think about my friend Chris Kilala. One thing I want you to remember about this song, when Jethro, they called him Jet, Chris's baby was born dead. My son Josh is a friend, and so he went to the funeral. And one of the things, you know, again, you would expect him to be so mad, he would hate God. But one of the things that my Josh said shifted the atmosphere at little Jet's funeral was Chris walked up and picked his baby up and praised God. He lifted his child to the Lord. And he, I don't know, Father, but I make a choice today. I make a choice today that I will worship you greater. I will praise you more. And this whole album, Let It Echo, has been the result of that. And it's all about miracles. It's all about what God wants to do in your life. Some of you need help. Because what Josh also said, he said, you know, that touched him when that happened. But what touched him more was when Bill Johnson, Chris's spiritual father, walked up behind Chris and grabbed Chris and Jethro and worshiped with him. You need your fathers. You need your mothers to love you, to be a part. I don't care how old you are. I'm a mother to people, some people that are a lot older than me. You need your leaders. You need your people to come behind you in your death, in your loss, and stand with you, and they're willing to do that. This church is all about that. If I lived in this area, I'd go to this church. I don't say that too often. If I lived in this area, I'd go to this church because I want everything that God has created for me, and that's not selfish. It's living my identity. Keith, would you move this, please, for me, son? So we're going to listen to the song one time through, and after that, if you need to leave, please feel free to leave. And if you want to hang around and let us pray for you, we're just going to pray very simply. We're not going to do prayer ministry up here. It's going to be a 30-second prayer of impartation that we're just going to impart to you, this Jabez prayer, the ability for enlargement and increase in your influence. You ready for that? Let's stand to our feet and do this. Let's worship the Lord.
I'm the one who made the blind to see. is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one that made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear.
This is your day. Come and let us pray prayers of impartation over you. Let us breathe on that vision. He really is the God of miracles. Holy Spirit.
I believe in you. the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles, the God of miracles, the God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one, the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles, God of miracles. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles, oh. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles, oh. I believe in you, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
I just want to say thank you. It's been an honor.
Thank you.